Did you know there's an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to create gummies, baked goods, and flower for whatever type of buzz you'd want. I'm talking about Mood.com. They have an incredible line of cannabis gummies, and you get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. This isn't some rinky-dink discount of 5 or 10%. This is 20% off your first order. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. My favorite are the Sleepy Time Advanced gummies. That's right, those are for sleepy time. You know when you just can't fall asleep? Take these and they'll put you right in the mood. Beyond gummies, Mood also has a selection of flower, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and beverages. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much everywhere these days. But Mood's functional gummies combine premium, federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. And everything ships discreetly right to your door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. So head to Mood.com, find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code SPECIALISTS when you check out to save 20% on your first order. Try it today at mood.com.
The Survivor Specialists, Phil and Blake, are back. And today we are recapping the finale of Survivor 48. And there is a 97.6% chance that I'm going to make Blake's life a living hell. Because guess what, everybody? Not only did Kyle win, but Blake, what number season is this of Survivor? Can you look at the screen, please, quickly? What number season is this? That would be what?
That's Africa Survivor 3, yeah.
That would be third season. I got the Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban. What number book is that in the Harry Potter series?
You literally went throughout your house
and grabbed everything. Hold on.
That's the third book. And
third one? Okay. And then what's the greatest science fiction horror movie ever made? Leprechaun 3.
Encounters of the Third Kind.
Leprechaun 3.
You can't even do the movie right.
I have Leprechaun 3 instead of Close Encounters of the Third Kind in my house because Joe finished third. 100% chance Joe is going to win. Joe finishes third. I'm so happy to be on the winning side of this whole thing. Will and I are going to be podcasting tomorrow night. We're going to be digging deeper into the episode at 11 p.m. Eastern time. Will had a work thing come up, so he's not able to join today. So Blake switches again after having to do Friday last week. Now he's doing this. And Blake, I'm just so happy we get to clear the air now. What did you think about Final Tribal Council and the way that this all shook out?
I think for Survivor 48, I'm not going to be glad it happened. I'm going to be glad it's over. You know, you have switched the thing around. What did I think about the finale? Is that what you just asked? I think what's going on is, are you a person that has 100% of the answers to 100% of the questions? And I don't think I would say I was. I thought I had the answers to the questions that I thought were happening. But the fact that Eva is getting second place, it is kind of like, oh, if you pay attention to the confessional counts, Kyle is clearly number one. Camilla and Eva clearly have some of the best women confessional counts ever. And Joe is so far behind. And in my mind, I'm like, well, I thought the editors of Survivor wouldn't do the same thing again. And I don't know why I thought that. Why am I giving this production the benefit of the doubt? Why am I giving the Survivor? Of course, it fits right into all of that. Maybe you can for forever more. Just look at the confessional counts, find out who your winner is. And when your Survivor pulls that way, I'm sounding extremely salty this way, but I'm like, I want some different content from Eva if she gets second place.
I
want a conversation with Eva and Mary talking. I want a conversation with Eva and Star talking anytime in the last three episodes that both of those women are in the game, because I don't see how Mary and how Star are voting for Eva to win, even with their two sentence explanations afterwards. I go, okay, I guess.
So here's why I think that I agree with what you're saying here, but I think that the reason is Joe had more and has more in future seasons winner equity than Eva. Eva never pulls full four votes at this final tribal council. And I think that's where there was a discrepancy, right? It's kind of like if you think about in Survivor China, right? Courtney beats Amanda, but if Amanda has a better final tribal, Amanda wins. Courtney can't really win that season. And I feel like that's the situation we're in with Eva here. Eva probably hit her max with two votes at final tribal council. So really, this game came down to Kyle, the leader of his alliance, taking on Joe, the leader of his alliance. That is what the game was about. Now, on paper, you're going to see third place next to Joe's name got fewer votes than Eva did. But I think in reality, Kyle and Joe were fighting for the same votes. Whereas Eva, Star's vote does not surprise me in any way, shape, or form. She talked very positively about Eva. She talked about that journey and how she felt that they had something after she found out about Eva's autism, how she really respected her, all of that, how Star saw a lot of her family there. I think we got a lot of that content. The Star one doesn't surprise me at all. Mary? What was Mary's story the whole season? Mary was a gigantic question mark the entire season. I never really understood where she was going to go. And maybe they decided not to really focus on Mary and Eva's relationship in any way, shape, or form because, like, it just didn't matter. Like, Adam Skyline here is saying, still trying to downplay Eva's game, even when she finished second, let it go. I'm not downplaying Eva's game. I'm just speaking a truth of I don't think she ever gets four votes. I think she had the best final tribal council she could have. I think she had the best scenario of a final three that she could have because, as you hear, everybody was going to vote for Camilla to win if that was the situation. And I truly think that this was the max for Eva, so that's why Eva's edit wasn't really there. Also, I think Eva's game was very one note, not necessarily a bad way. It got her two votes. It got her the 100K, but I think it was one note, and I think that's something that a lot of the jury actually talked about. Mary, it was enough to get her the vote. That Mary loved that it was one note. So I think that's why it was weird. I truly believe, and I'm going to say this before Blake comes in and just shits on my take, I truly believe that Survivor 48 will be so much better on a rewatch when you know the full story. Because I truly believe that there actually is a very, very, very good story in this season. The problem is, from what Survivor is, which is a week-to-week, vote somebody out, we're used to excitement and fireworks show, that's not what this is, right? That's not what this season is. But there is a great story about Camilla and Kyle being the actual story of the season over Joe and Eva, but doing it so subtly that you don't know it's there. So yeah, go ahead. Somebody's saying you hated the whole season. I was the most defensive of the season until the last two episodes.
My favorite quote of the season happened tonight. It was during the reunion, and Jeff Probst.
Why somebody, you gotta rip Mitch?
Somebody already mentioned
it. Why do you have to rip Mitch?
I'm not ripping anything. I'm ripping Jeff, okay? Jeff Probst goes, if there's anything, Mitch, every Survivor fan's gonna come up to you and say, you're an absolute gamer, and I loved you playing this season.
And that's one where I do say, where the hell was the edit here? Because Mitch, I mean, they voted Mitch off at 5. Like, let's talk about this vote, right? They vote off Mitch at 5 because they truly believe Mitch is the biggest threat. Now, here's the deal. We're 7 minutes and 23 seconds in, so I want to drop this early so people know it's coming. So tomorrow at 11 p.m. Eastern, I'm digging deeper with Will. But tomorrow during the day, for the first time in Survivor Specialist history, Blake's not doing anything. Blake's too angry.
Yeah, Blake is exiled.
Yeah, Blake's going to be editing everything behind the scenes. I am doing exit interviews with all 5 of the final 5. So make sure you check out the channel then. Nice. They're not going to be live.
I did not know that.
Yeah, it's going to be pre-recorded. Yeah, okay, Blake. It's going to be pre-recorded, so they will be coming out, not at like the same thing that we do here, but those will be coming out. So I'm excited to talk to everybody, and I'm especially excited to talk to Mitch because I truly am curious, does Mitch get the votes at the end? And I am curious, when I talk to the rest of the people there, was Mitch actually the biggest threat, or was this total BS that they were just, you know, blowing smoke up his ass? Because I'm genuinely curious, because from my edit, I don't see it. But from what Jeff said, and from everything that we saw, people were threatened by him, and people actually did. So I don't know. I don't get it.
I mean, Mitch never won individual immunity, so I don't know how they're going to make that a thing. He never was the target to go home and worked his way, maybe a little bit socially, of I'm get one vote ahead, but it wasn't I won immunity or used an advantage. I think that was a big thing that, like, let's maybe recap some of the episode of, like, where did Kyle win? We were both super negative on Kyle. And then I did not say what's her face. Eva was like, here's what we're going to say. Shaheen was my best play. And as soon as she said that, I was like, and here is where the Eva wins plane just hits the ground. Here's where Joe's going to come and win this at the end with an amazing speech, is what I was thought the whole time. And as soon as Eva was like, the Shaheen vote was the strongest vote we did, I was like, God damn it.
Yeah, it's
because it was laid out. Like, I think that is something that I also have a little bit of qualm with the winner of, like, his edit the whole season long. I don't know if we could go back and click a button in our editing software 55 times and see how many times Kyle said the words, Camilla and I have a secret relationship. Mm-hmm. And yes, it was a huge pop that all of the, what are they called, jury were like, what? Oh my God. And it's just something to me where I'm like, is that everyone's thought process? Are you on Survivor? You're not, it's not that you're oblivious, but I'm like, if two people are in the final four, how are you like, I can't believe they'd work together? It's like almost inevitable. Of like, why do you think Camilla was the fourth of that four if she's not doing something on the side? Who are you underestimating? And it didn't seem like they were underestimating Camilla, because they were like, oh, if Camilla's in the finals, she's the winner. There's no shot. Like, she gets literally shown as the David Wright character of the fallen angel that we're always going to. This was Camilla's season that Kyle somehow won, is what they kind of told us to think about. I'm like, well, that hasn't been in the edit either. So what did an editor get fired? Did an editor break an ACL or something? And they couldn't edit those. Like,
you don't break. Ligaments.
What happened in the editing room to make me be so excited to go, Joe wins. And I guarantee it.
What place did Joe get?
Close Encounters of the Leprechaun 3, yes.
Leprechaun 3, dude. I'm just going to tell you, welcome to Vegas. The odds are you won't leave alone. Oh, alive. You won't leave alive. Anyway, here's my thing. I actually think Kyle's edit was there the whole season. I've been saying that I think Kyle's going to win for a while now. I have felt like that's where this was leading us. I know that you were into the whole Joe situation. I never saw Joe winning this season. Look, I was right this time. I've been wrong before. It just doesn't happen very often. So when it does happen, you have to come in. But here's the thing, like, truly, when I look at what they gave for Kyle, and I know people were kind of giving me a hard time over here in the comments and stuff. I've been saying throughout this season, we got to be patient. We got to let it happen. And then the Mary and Star boots happened. And I was like, this is one of the worst seasons. This is brutal. I don't enjoy this. Right. But the last two episodes, I do think that this season ended on a very strong note. I really do. And there's going to be a lot of people who disagree with that, but I truly believe it ended on a strong note. And when you're talking about the Kyle thing, we were so busy staring at Joe and Eva that everything Kyle did early on was being overshadowed. Think about the early days on SIVA.
What did Kyle do at 12, 10, 11, 9?
Well, no, I'm talking early days of SIVA. Early days of SIVA.
Okay.
When they're not going to tribal council, but he's building relationships with Mitch, with Chrissy, with David, right? With Camilla. Literally, the only one who doesn't build a relationship on his starting tribe is Charity, and she doesn't make the jury. He is building relationships with everybody right from the word go. They're all looking at him as somebody who is in their alliance. And so I think that's where Kyle really, really stood out. And I think that if you watch this season again, and I'm not sitting here saying this season's going to be top 20. Like, I don't think there's really any way. I think that this season probably for me ends up in the mid 30s. Maybe it gets as high as 30, depending on how I feel as we're rewatching, which we're doing over on Patreon. And we just got the Heroes Villains. And my God, is that refreshing after Samoa? I don't care what anybody says. But I really do think that there is a very clear and obvious story for Kyle. And Tommy Smoke said it when I did the predictions with him last week, and I have to agree with him on this. Kyle played one of the most subtle, dominant games in the history of the show. And I would argue that he is probably the second best winner of the new era, only behind D. And there's an argument to be made that he is the best winner of the new era. A lot of people are going to disagree with that. He knew while we were all screaming at him, you got to vote Joe out. You got to vote Eva out. You got to do this. He stood by
Survivor is a game that's won in the margins.
He stood by his game and he knew what was going to work for him and who he could beat. He knew that he could beat everybody at Final Three except for Camilla. So what does he do? He makes sure he doesn't go to the end with Camilla. But he got as far as he needed to with Camilla, which was down to Final Three. I got Neo Kuro here who has been destroying me nonstop. He says, stop it. It's Rachel. I disagree with that. I think Rachel played a phenomenal game, but I do think that Kyle's is better. So that's what I got. Matthew C. has posted that three times. Just throw it up, please.
Okay,
throw it up, Blake. Make yourself feel better. Come on.
No, this is my only fan. Oh, I clicked the wrong one.
You clicked
one.
The wrong one.
It
you
literally
even
changes
started.
When someone says something. Digging deeper with Blake is better than Survivor 48. We don't have near as much viewers.
Are you even going to say who said it? Come on,
Matthew
man.
C. You already said it three there times. You go. Okay, so here's the other one I starred during all that. It literally happened in the premiere, and I said, oh my God, if this comes back around in the finale and shows us that this is his, oh, Tina wasn't interviewed in the first episode of Australia. In the someone else, let's check. Of Kyle is such a good guy, he's gonna help somebody win or beat him when he broke his glass. And oh, he broke the glass because it fits into his story of he goes too hard or doesn't think about what he's doing. And then when the consequence happens, he can refocus and go, what is best for me right now? Helping out Kevin. Is his name Kevin? It's Kevin, right?
Kevin, yeah.
That's so long ago right now. And I was like, gosh, dang it. If this comes all back around, if he wins. Because I wasn't a big fan of his self-proclaimed, like, and it didn't come back until the finale. So it did matter in your preseason. When somebody goes in their preseason, I'm an average person everywhere, every time. It is kind of like, well, how did you get cast? That can't be true because we only cast extraordinary people on my favorite show, Survivor 48. But it did make sense, and I think it is equal parts a perfect thing to say at Final Tribal of, like, I am humble. Mm-hmm. You guys are better than me at multiple things, but I'm better than you at some things, and that's why I've lasted this long. It's like a perfect deflection, redirection, that's the same word twice, and maneuver around maybe what you thought of Kyle as, well, I wish he had done this more. As soon as he goes, I'm pretty humble. I'm bad at some stuff, but I'm good at this. You're like, you know what? You are. And I think there's some stuff of, did every SIVA member vote for Kyle to win the game? Like, that finally pays off of, like, SIVA votes together, of Mitch votes for him to win, Camilla votes for him to win, and so does Chrissy. I think Chrissy was... And David, yes. So, that's all four. Like, that's the four votes he needed to win. It's a great way to win the game of, like, I didn't personally lead the charge on some of you guys' vote outs. Camilla, you lost in fire, not me. Yeah. Even though I thought it was kind of heartbreaking that he put her in instead of taking her in the end. I think that's a blind spot for me if I ever am on Survivor of, like, loyalty. I would be the dumbass that takes Camilla to the end because we did everything together and everyone goes, how could you do this? Like, because we
were
so close.
You're getting final four?
No, I never would. We're never in the scenario anyway. Don't worry. I lose emotion on the first ball for sure.
Yeah, tripping. Like, Blake's hand, he's frustrated.
Like, I honestly, whenever they're like, we're tying the finger, we're tying your hand behind, I'm like, I would literally fall over. Like, don't you balance with your freaking arm
yeah.
to like pick over stuff, and I know I do. We got a super chat. We might as well show it.
Yeah, click it in. Here we go. Nate Will, don't pop in live often, but want to say thanks for all the content. Found you, Phil, during season 32, and when it ended, it was like, wow, this guy rambling about Michelle knew his stuff. Excited for that, for all that's ahead. Well, thank you, Nate Will. Always love a good super chat and appreciate that. And yes, I mean, you know, I feel like I have a good read on this show. And Blake, this actually isn't shade at you, but I always know when a season is spoiled because everybody's right, right? And you could tell that this season wasn't spoiled because I'm like, man, you all are so wrong thinking it's Joe. Like, and it's so funny because the seasons where everybody's been right are like Marianne and Erica and Jam Jam. And it's like, those are like the three most spoiled seasons of the new era. And the ones that haven't been so spoiled, it's like, well, Charlie wins. Well, Cassidy's going to win if it's not Jesse. Like it's just very funny to me. And I have to throw some shots at people here because, man, I was getting roasted early on for not thinking that Joe was going to win. But I don't know. I stick to my guns. And Blake, I will say, this was your second full season of podcasting with us. I have to give you credit.
It's like season four of full podcasting, right?
Is it? No,
I did it last year. Oh, this is season three. Then there's three.
Yeah, this is season three. But this is
we're both wrong. First,
you did the 46 premiere, and then we didn't know how we were going to keep you involved and everything. Okay, this season, okay. you were all in, all on board for the entire season. I appreciate that you stuck to your guns with Joe here, because even as the Titanic had hit the iceberg and the water was so cold and everybody was sinking and there were too few lifeboats, and you were like, hey, I don't know, man. Let's pull up this tweet, which one of my favorite comments that's probably ever been posted on a video. And I really appreciate this type of commenting. Where is this?
The tweet you posted last week?
Yeah, Blake, where is that? Do you still have that one? Here it is. Yeah. This is from I'm Nick Mansour. Blake could watch Jeff hand Kyle the $1 million check, fireworks exploding, Kyle doing press the next morning in a Soul Survivor hoodie. And he'd still come on here the next day and say, Joe's edit is peaking at the perfect time. I've got him at 97% to pull it out. So, Blake, how you feeling?
Here we go. Here we go. How did Joe lose it at the final tribal? I do think there was the idea of Joe is a strong, I can bounce ideas off of you. I can help you regulate. I can help you come up with why we can justify voting out this person in our alliance. Can Joe come up with the inner workings of what it means to be a survivor player in this season? Probably not. Can he narrate an episode about the stuff and interrelationships? Probably not. We didn't see that either. So I think there is the thought process of he mentions his age a bunch. Is that something that's easy to relate to for people under 30? Or I don't know, what is our average age? Like, I don't know if he was saying, like, I'm proud to be a 45-year-old, or it didn't really come off as, like, what a cool reason to vote for you. So what I'm trying to say is I really thought there would be some more emotional stuff in his final tribal. I think his logic would probably lose him the game. I think ethics would be something that people would go, I don't know, Joe. So I thought there was going to be a huge emotional push, and it didn't happen. And I don't know if it was never that serious to Joe, but I was hoping for a through line of stuff we know from all of the interviews. And I know there was an interview with them today. I did not watch Joe.
Yeah, CBS Mornings. Yep.
And that kind of was a red flag for me. I was like, well, I don't think Joe's going to win if they had him today. So God dang it. But that's not a spoiler. That's just some inference. But like, a through line that I was expecting to have happen, and I do not have sisters. I don't have brothers. I have Phils. I have Wills. So my thought process is, if Joe had said, my sister, here's everything about my sister. She's the reason I play this game. Whenever Eva came up to me, I literally was like, I know this is something from my sister, and this is, I didn't get to be there for my sister. We had him say that on the show. I wanted to be there for Eva because it's going to fill, not all the way, it's going to partly fill that hole in my heart. And that's what my relationship with Eva was. I'm going to tell you, I did not care if having Eva with me through this game worsened my chances at winning. but I'm going to show you why that was so important to me. And is this a vote I get from Mary? Because Mary loves when people share exactly what they are. Is this a vote I get from Star where she goes, I completely understand that. And then maybe somebody who has kids like Chrissy. I don't even know if Chrissy has kids. Chrissy's old. I'm assuming she has kids. She could not have kids. Mm-hmm. That's something where I would go, holy shit, Joe. That's the Jeremy level speech. That's the Adam Klein level speech that I thought maybe Joe isn't very good at narrating specific stuff that happens in the game. But if Joe spoke from the heart about how his relationship with Eva is probably healing him, and that's what he needed from this game, and everything else has been great, I don't know if people would go, well, thank you for allowing me to not vote for you, Rafe Judkins. Like that one time Rafe was like, I'm good. And then he went home. Or if they would be like, wow, Joe was doing something different this whole time. And I think that's so admirable and fits completely with his character. And that's why I think he deserves to be our representative of the, maybe not the best player, but the best man on our season.
Well, and so I love that. And St. Cliffo had the comment of Joe needed to hire Blake as a speechwriter. And then Tim Guptar here says so much Joe backstory during the season for not much said at the final tribal. And this goes to Blake, what we were talking about when we were doing Digging Deeper last week, which was, you know what Joe needs to pitch to win this game, but does Joe know what he needs to pitch to win this game?
No.
And I think Joe totally missed it. He totally missed it.
Hold on to a thing forever. I don't know that. I'm not going to get to have my final tribal council speech, which is an immunity challenge for people that can put thoughts to paper. Because I can't do this. Yeah. I can't do this. I can't jump in place for.
How do you drink milk?
I literally, I'm gay with it.
Blake's elbow is going.
You're that's crazy. The effeminate way to drink milk is like, get off my screen, bro. See you next season. But whatever.
Captain Obvious super sticker. That's all it is. But it's a super chat. Look, I think that was Joe's problem, and I think that Joe. There's a lot of rumors around, and look, I don't know what the speculation on 50 is at this point. I mean, I guess Eliza
said something. We'll know in 7 days.
Eliza said something to her patrons or something today that makes people think that somebody in particular is not on, but what are we doing at listening to Eliza about this stuff at this point? I mean, I know her Patreon is probably full of nothing but facts, but my goodness. Yeah. Sorry, if you're going to roast people from the Survivor community for financial gain, like, I don't really care. But like when I sit here and I look, like, it makes sense for me that Joe would be the representative from this season on Survivor 50 if he is. Because I think Joe learns a lot about himself after this season. And I think that not having Eva there makes Joe play a completely different game. I know, Blake, we were talking about on Patreon earlier today how somebody had posted a picture of Emily Flippin on Twitter, right? And had said in this Emily Flippin picture, what is she going to bring on Survivor 50? And I do think that's fair, right? Because Emily's story played out. Now, Emily's a great character. I would love to watch Emily play again. But it's like, we know what her story was. Is she going to bring something better the next time she plays? She probably plays a different game, but is it better? Think about Yao Man. Think about Sister Nino, right? Like, these are players who came back, who everybody wanted to watch again, and they can never even get their feet underneath them because there was nothing there. Or Chaos Cass, whose second game is nowhere near as good as her first one. But Joe, without Eva, plays a totally, totally different game. And I think being the third place finisher on this season actually makes Joe a very compelling person to bring back. And I know there's a lot of people who would argue that maybe he's boring or whatever, but I would bet you that 90% of the people watching like Joe, right? Like, do enjoy Joe on the screen. And that might be hard for people to believe because you look on social media and stuff, but most people watching the show love Joe. And I think tonight he did a lot to justify that.
I really like Joe. And like, I kind of like Joe for his, I don't want to say warts because that's Kyle's thing, but I like Joe's for his negatives too. Of whenever he was like, how are you voting for me? When other people got votes all the time. I thought that was a very compelling, like, there's multitudes, and like I think it is kind of fun when people are bad at hide, like not playing Survivor well. And like obviously we did have the Mary confessional that I was trying to, I don't think this will matter. Well, that's, here's Mary telling you why her confessional mattered with her vote tonight. And I did think, well, whenever he tells her the amazing story, she's not going to think that. But like, I think Joe's a great representative of like, is he the best older firefighter dude? Because we've had a couple. Is he okay? He's one of the strongest. Like, are you going to be super excited to see Joe on your tribe when you're doing, are they doing two tribes? Or are they doing three? If there's 20 people, they can only do two. But like, the only thing you wouldn't, only person you wouldn't want more than Joe on your team is Jonathan Young or David. Yeah. And like, which one of those are going to get on there? I think there's a lot of stuff that we're talking about 50 already, which poor 49, even poor 48. But like, if Joe comes back and the story is without Eva, it's like, does Joe fit into the new era game? Or is this the most old school new era season ever? Of like, yes, there were a bunch of advantages, but nobody used them. I don't think anybody got, like, Thomas got idled out, and that was the end of that mattering, really?
Yeah.
Like, can we say this is the least, like, the post-merge did not have a successful advantage played or not? No, I kind of, like, don't care about where this is going, but, like, yeah, it seems like Joe could work with old school players on the season, but if he doesn't, if Joe got 16th place on Survivor 50, I'd be like, that makes complete sense.
Well, it's like Caleb, right, from Korong. He comes back for Game Changers, and it's like Caleb's not going to win that season. Joe definitely has more win equity than Caleb. But you would think, like, here comes Beast Mode Cowboy. He got along really well with Ty. It seemed like the Beauty Tribe liked him in Korong. He ends up getting medevaced, and then he turns around. He comes back. He plays again. He gets voted out super early. Nobody was shocked that he got voted out super early. But he also just felt like
my bad for almost killing you. You can play again.
Yeah, pretty much. Let's throw up Philip Solomon's comment here. You know, hot take that Eva's likability tanked a bit for three straight hours. Then she was like, just in case, let's bring down Maria to confirm. What do you think about the Maria shade here, Blake? That Maria got taken down when Eva was saying there at the end of the old.
I don't think people make fun of Maria enough. Okay.
Jeez,
give Charlie $1 million.
Oh my God. And this is where Blake suddenly turns into the Facebook group, everybody. It's over.
I think it's something where you're like, okay, Maria got mentioned. I already saw her salty tweet. Okay, you're part of the lexicon, you're part of the culture, you're part of you're gonna be mentioned for another 26 years. There's people that make fun of people from 15 years ago. Butch got a mention somehow. Firewood.
I mentioned Butch because Eva people said nobody's ever carried more firewood than her, and that's a freaking lie.
I do think Maria is a villain, and you are allowed to hate her just as much. So it was, I thought it was a backhanded compliment. I don't think it was shade.
I agree.
It was like, we saw Maria, who was super old, but still somehow won challenges, and now Joe's doing it too. So good to see that. I thought that was a little bit where Eva lost me on her final tribal. I thought she was doing really amazing, and then she was like, I came here to play a physical game. And then I was like, I don't think anybody on the jury is going to love that. The one comment too that I kind of want to be like, did this ever pay off? Like, we're moving all these stories around. When Camilla talks to David and says, you're losing jury votes, and Joe kind of rolls his eyes, is that the payoff of like Camilla saying you're losing? Like, which jury votes did Joe lose because of that Camilla incident of like, Chrissy's going home, but you guys aren't paying attention to her?
I actually think it's more of gaining jury votes. I think what the payoff with Camilla with that whole thing is I do believe that is more of Camilla being the one with her finger on the pulse of the jury the most. I think she won the game for Kyle more than Kyle won it for himself. Now, granted, this final tribal council was very, very long, much longer than what we saw. I'm sure Joe and Kyle both took plenty of shots, but Kyle was still playing the nice guy at this final tribal. And it wasn't until he explained the move that Camilla set up for him it wasn't until then that he won it, because I think on that conversation, he got Shaheen's vote. He got Mitch's vote. He already had Camilla's vote. And I think that probably got him David's vote. So I think that this whole storyline of what's going on with the jury votes and Camilla saying you're losing this, you're not, I think that was actually more about Camilla just having the knowing what the jury wanted more than anybody else, because she's the one who got Kyle to say what the jury needed to hear for him to win a very competitive final three. 5-2-1. We don't see that close of a final tribal where everybody also gets a vote. I'm all about that. So I think that's probably why we saw this with Camilla.
Here's one thing that I do think happened, that if you're a survivor game strategy person, I think the Fire 4 evolved and was changed with this season of, it doesn't make sense for me to bring Joe. The jury is going, wait, what? And I'm going to prove to you guys that you guys think I'm taking Joe and it's a dumb thought process. But when Camilla gets owned by Fire and gets knocked out and I tell you our thing, I'm bringing the third vote finalist that you think is stronger. And I'm going to prove it to you that it looks like a stupid decision. It looks like a stupid decision to probably the 4 million people watching this. But then I showed you they got third place. Look how smart I am.
Yeah.
Because I think Kyle was kind of in a unwinnable scenario. And it didn't seem very smart of like, I promised this to Joe. And that was what he told the jury. But if he had said like, I think Joe sucks, they would have completely been like, how dare you?
I think they would have gone against him. Because I think that jury respected all of them. And they even said, Shaheen and Mitch all said it at the end. Like, they all brought it. Like, they were ready to go with their final tribal speeches. There has to be a winner and there has to be a loser, right? After all of that. And I want to put this up because we never got to this one. But Panda of Pizza, I can't see a flaw in Kyle's game post-merge. He played extremely well. I started to feel like, during the final tribal, that was his flaw of the post-merge. I think that the move that he made with Shaheen and Camilla to get David out of the game was excellent. I think that he had such a strong relationship with Mitch that he's able to tell Mitch straight to his face, I need to vote you out tonight. There's nothing we can do. And Mitch takes it and still votes for him. I think he played excellently with Camilla to obviously get Shaheen out of the game. But then I sat there and I started watching that final tribal council and I said, man, he's letting Eva and Joe kind of control the mood at this final tribal. And that was going to be the issue. And then he was able to rebound and save it. And I do agree with that comment from By Panda of Pizza. Kyle didn't make a mistake. As we were watching live, a lot of us, and myself included at times, felt that he was making mistakes. How is this guy keeping Joe and keeping Eva, who has all these advantages in the game? What is wrong with him? But now that he's right, this is again where I go back to the rewatch factor of this season. You know Kyle is right the entire season about the things he's doing. How much more impressive does that make his game when you know that he is correct about every decision he makes? Because right. When we don't know, like you said, 4 million people are sitting at home going, you just took Joe? The jury is like, what? He's taking Joe. What are we talking about? But Tommy and I doing our predictions, we thought that he was going to take Eva and it would be Joe and Camilla making Fire. But he takes Joe and we sit there and go, really? But now we know that every single decision he made led him to the $1 million prize. And I think that that just makes his win so unbelievably impressive. And when everybody was saying, what the hell are you doing?
And that's something that maybe I've said for 10, 15 years. You guys have only known me for like two. When you're the winner of a Survivor season, even where you went and drank your water was the best decision. Like, yeah. You turn into the smartest person in your cast because, hey, Shaheen, how do you win Survivor? Well, here's how I think it works. Oh, well, that didn't quite work. Hey, Mitch, how do you win Survivor? Well, here's what I thought would work. Well, it blew up at the end. Well, Kyle knows how to win Survivor. And pay attention. How much food did he eat on rewards? How much? What did he do when it came to talking to allies? Whenever he was caught in a lie, what did Kyle say? That was a big problem I had with him. Whenever David came up to him and said, let's vote out Camilla, and he didn't have an answer, I thought his final tribal would be kind of rough. And instead, he flourished with that of like, I'm confident in this area. I know that I'm going to get these certain kinds of questions. There was no gotcha moment for Kyle, and he capitalized on the gotcha moment for the other two people. So it almost seemed like that's his gotcha moment was David talking to him on the beach. He learned from that, not it's going to happen again.
Yeah. And I do think that David was ultimately the biggest threat to Kyle's game. And I know people are going to roll their eyes. First of all, the fact that David's mean mugging was all a bit. I love this man. I would watch him play every season of Survivor. I told my wife earlier, I was like, I'm leaving you for David. I mean, this is just crazy. I love this man. He is so freaking funny. I think he's great casting. And so I sit here and I watch David do this. And the entire time, though, it was impacting, I think, the way the jury was thinking. Because I do think a lot of people are sitting there going, he's not voting for Joe. There's no freaking way he does that. And I do think that the way that David pinpointed how good Kyle and Camilla were playing and how they were paired out, right? I think that if they don't get rid of him when they get rid of him, game over for Kyle and Camilla. Because I think it would have come out at that point that they were playing both sides. I think David had to go because he was the biggest threat. And then he ends up probably being one of the biggest advocates. You have to think, David pretended to be mad, then actually isn't mad, and sits there and says, let's talk about challenges. And Kyle was able to get David to vote for him when he's sitting next to somebody who won four and had two shots to tie the record. I think that's really impressive. So I think that David was probably the biggest threat. And I think when you're watching the edit and you're saying, how did David get so much screen time and blah, blah, blah? David's boot is when Kyle won the game. Or at least it was the first step.
It was the odds on favorite
going to win the game.
Somebody has to get rid of Kyle after David goes or Kyle wins. Everything that did happen solidifies that. That is what is true. Mm-hmm. I agree with that. And it's the Kyle truthers win. I think when you go back and watch this, I'm not going to go back and watch this for, I'll give it a couple years and then sit on it, see who wins.
Maybe like 2.5 years when we get there.
Yeah. I think that's funny. There's somebody in the chat who's being like, Blake, are you going to respect Shaheen's game? The person who won said he was his biggest threat. Shaheen lost at six. No, he would never win Survivor.
But I do think I get what people are saying there. It's like if Shaheen gets to the end, he wins, but Shaheen's got to get to the end.
Yeah.
And Kyle made the move before Shaheen. And there's a world we're sitting in where Kyle's the one that Blake's like, I need more hands to give thumbs down. And that could be the case, right? Like, you don't know. And Shaheen's the winner of the season because that was literally when Kyle won it. But the David move happening is when Kyle and Camilla took total control of the game and they no longer had enough adversaries because they got rid of David at 9. Now you're at final 8. Kyle and Camilla know that Eva and Joe are never voting for them. They are cruising because the numbers cannot flip on them. So getting rid of David was the biggest move there. I think it really was.
We haven't mentioned yet that we need to focus on? Like,
I want to give a pitch real quick because Joseph Flores said, I think Phil is one of the best specialists. I think I'm the best one, but that's okay. Stop whoever you are putting Phil down. I just want to say, if you have Apple Podcasts, I need to throw this in here. I'd put it in the top of the chat way long ago. But if you have Apple Podcasts, we need your help. Okay, go over there. I know all of you who are watching on YouTube, you're like, dude, what do I care? But I need to make a pitch. It's the end of the season. If you enjoyed this, next Wednesday night, I'm going to take a break from my vacation so that we can podcast about the season 50 cast. So if you liked what we did this season, if you're appreciating where we're going, go over to Apple Podcasts, leave us a 5-star review and leave us an actual review. Because if you have that, what happens is we only get the people who don't like us who comment over there. And I know there are so many of you who like us, but like, we can't let this person win. Some of us love 48. Okay, we get it. You hate 48, but your persistent total negativity has made your pod unlistenable. I'm a new listener and was loving it, but now I'm out. RHAP, RHAP, pod has spoken and no buffs, keeping it fun no matter what. That's from Sports My Jam. We can't let that person win. That's a
one calling out your ops in front of your
yes.
You're weaponizing your fan base. The one thing you can't do is the Survivor personality.
We need five-star reviews.
You're supposed to weaponize your fan base to go against me. That's how it works.
Weaponizing my fan base to go against anybody. I'm telling them, give us good reviews, because I know there's a lot of you who like us. And when I see that, it makes me so annoyed, because it's like, have we not been fun?
You've got
Leprechaun 3.
You've got 250 best friends in the chat, and you're worried about the one enemy. You gotta love these people.
Apple Podcast is our lowest rating, and it really affects our numbers over there. So that's why we need the help.
Survivor,
Spotify, we're chilling. Yeah. Everybody loves us on Spotify. That's our
Survivor group. Archivist is right. Phil is the secret 50 member. He leaves next week.
You all think it's Colby. They said we can't get Colby. We need that archetype, though. We need somebody who's whiny and will yell at his brother in his early 30s, and they found me. All right, what you were going to say? Who do we need to talk about?
Chrissy and Cedric. Let's just go ahead and get them out. Chrissy gets the episode name. Only one of yous can win.
Yeah,
and I thought her thing was crazy. Of like, she was basically like, Joe and Eva talk shit about each other, or there's no shot at my vote. And I was like, Chrissy, this is a complete 180 from your whole thing of like, how do you go from Joe's the I guess there's seven boots in between hers and the final, but it was like, Chrissy, what? I thought you were like, Joe is great, and like, she's watching everything, but like, maybe she hasn't had a relationship with Kyle. I don't think she was on his like half of the vote whenever it was final 12. She wasn't around. She didn't talk to him at like her boot at all. And then Cedric votes for Joe. That's another Cedric votes wrong again.
That's from Fable right
That's
here.
That's from like 38 minutes ago. That made me laugh. It's just funny of like, there's eight people on this jury, but it really feels like Cedric was voted out like 2 months ago.
Yeah, I agree with that. I feel like Cedric was on a different season at this point. I feel like, especially since Cedric was such an integral part of the pre-merge, with like how the whole thing was he was just voting people out, it does truly feel like this was almost two different seasons. And I love that Cedric voted for Joe, because I feel like it was along the lines of why he would. Does that make sense? Like, he, like, what Joe represents is what Cedric represents. And Cedric even said, like, I hope to be you in a couple years. And I thought that was really cool, because Joe made his best argument after the votes were done, when he said, Eva, I'm so happy that we did this together, because you let me show who I really am as a person. And I thought that was unbelievably powerful. He just made that. He just said that too late. I think if he says that to that jury, I think they might actually give him some votes, maybe even more votes, because it is like, this is a guy who put everything else aside. And you were talking about like with his sister and everything like that. I think there was a lot for him to talk about there that could have absolutely gotten him more votes, but he didn't say it. And so Chrissy, I think that when Kyle said he was an attorney, she said, oh, this guy was playing. And I think Chrissy, for as bad as her edit was, for as little as we saw of her, I think that Chrissy respects the game so much and respects a big game a lot. And Kyle's was the biggest.
So blind squirrels.
Click it. I hate it. I hate it so
blind
much.
Blind squirrels find two nuts a day or something like that. This is the one thing I have been right about. Of, I believe Cedric is going to vote for Joe because he's also an older man, but he was an extremely dominant physical player when most of Cedric's problems he had with the game were physical, and he would be like, damn, I wish I could be like that one day. And I was like, let's go.
Yeah.
Redemption. This is my survival. Like, if I was the editors, I would be like, yeah, we need to play that twice just for Blake so he can hear it again. I guess that's everybody in the finale. Do you miss not having like, here's Thomas Say and all the other people from the beginning?
Yes. Like, I truly do.
I think having Say be at a live studio audience where people could either be like, yay, Say, or boo, Say. And then Say goes, all of you guys didn't vote out Joe and Eva? And it's like, well, you're wrong, because they ended up being losing finalists. But like, having one final like, I should have won, and all you guys are dumb from Say, I think would have been a funny ending bite for this. It is interesting that Jeff Probst is like, man, 48 was a freaking blast. And I know all of you guys at home are saying, what an amazing season. And I'm like, if you're an editor, are you not like, Jeff, we should take this out just in case so people don't go, Jeff Probst has lost the sauce. And I agree with some people being like, I don't even watch the after show. I watched it this time because I was podcasting, but this is the first time I've watched in like six seasons, because the like pizza and champagne thing is like crazy to me of let these people put on a shirt, their Tommy Bahama polos, come back the next day and be like, that was crazy. I've come to terms with it. And every producer can come up with better questions than what's off the top of Jeff's head or what he gets speakered in.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay, let's do that.
Well, and it feels really rushed. And I always felt like the reunion started to feel rushed towards the end anyway, because they started making them like 25 minutes to a half hour. And then they would start to introduce the characters like halfway through episodes and stuff like that. And there was more that would take place during the actual finale. Whereas in the early days, it was split up and like the last thing might get its full 40 minutes. I felt for Joe a lot. And I always feel for the third place finisher, because the, you know, they're trying to take it in. Ben had realized he wasn't going to win, so it was more Charlie that you felt for in 46. But you always feel for the people who lose, because they just have to sit there and be like, yes, Jeff, yes, Jeff, yes, whatever. And I feel like that's tough. And I have never been a fan of the after show. I'm very excited that for 50, we're voting for a live reunion and that a live reunion is going to happen. Like that is big. We need that. I think that's more compelling, because honestly, I do want to hear what people say after the fact more than I want to hear what they say in the moment. I just watched what they did in the moment. I watched what their vote was.
Having Star be pissed about the California Girls Alliance.
Yes.
Like I slept next to you guys till day 20 on that island thinking you guys were cool, but you guys were going to vote me out at day 3 or 6 if we ever lost. Screw all y'all.
Yeah. I totally agree with you. I totally agree with you. And like, yeah, it was cool to see Kyle and Camilla be like, wait, what? He had to steal a vote like about Thomas, but wouldn't it be better if it was like, Thomas, they didn't know you had to steal a vote. You have any regrets? And it's like, yes, I did. And Kyle and Camilla being like, if he plays that, we lose. Like, because I remember talking about that episode. If he plays the steal a vote, they can split the vote, but he didn't tell anybody. So I feel like, you do miss out on some of the pre-mergers. And look, Jeff bounces around. He doesn't talk to them all that much anymore, whatever. But this was a cast where there was so much drama in the pre-merge with Justin, with Say. And I know Say technically made the merge, but you know what I mean?
One conversation with Justin of like, what do you regret not saying? Did you figure it out that night in the hotel of Ponderosa? Did you figure it on the plane ride home? Did you figure out making pizzas 2 weeks ago? Like, what do you think you could have said to Cedric? Or what do you think you could have said to Cedric? That's a weird sentence.
What could you have said to Ced?
Which could you have say to say? Cedric and Say? They're past tense. And
there's a glitch in the Matrix right now. Blake is done.
Okay. What do you think, Justin, what could you have Cedric to say to get in further? I think that would have been a fun question, but like, do we need to hear anything from Justin again after this? I think it would be fun for that context, but that's not what we're getting anymore.
Yeah, I agree with that. You know, and I do think some of that's missing, and you know, especially in a season like this, again, where they were integral to what the story was and ultimately who ends up winning. I mean, that was a big part of Kyle and Camilla coming together there, and I think that's great. That's James Barber was Mitch's most boring Final Five boot ever. No,
I think what's crazy, let's talk about the spoilers in the freaking
that game. Was crazy. Yeah, that was like, bad.
That I think that's got to be a slap on the wrist for Survivor CBS.com of like, hey, guess what, guys? In our preview for the finale, you're going to see Camilla with a freaking necklace on.
And that was a blatant shot. The Mitch one was at least subtle. But everybody and their mother knew Mitch was, or that Camilla was going to win, because she's literally sitting there with the gigantic necklace on, clear as day.
And I think that Final Five challenge, does Camilla go home if she doesn't win? No. But they had a crazy comeback.
Yeah.
There was, and as soon as Joe is like touching one puzzle piece and moving it over and not doing anything, I was like, oh, Camilla wins immunity in one of these two challenges. It's clearly this one. Because she's going to be the only one that can come up with the puzzle. And it was like that ruined the first 50 minutes of enjoyment, because I pay attention to advertisements for the show.
Yeah.
And I think it's
because I get excited to watch the preview for the finale of my favorite show.
Right. And like, I think that's something that I'm looking for. I remember that stuff back in Exile Island days of like, I'm in high school and like paying attention to every frame. And like, as Eris is walking in, you can see something on his neck. And like, I hand to God, I don't, that one is like, it sucks that that happened. But here's Mitch's face behind Shaheen. And here's a necklace on Camilla's neck, I think is unacceptable. And I think it took a lot of hype out of, it deflated my enjoyment. Yeah.
Yeah. It really ruined Camilla's comeback. And then knowing that that happened, like you can see it clear as day, Mitch walking. And look, maybe people aren't watching as closely as we are. And like you said, you're dissecting frame by frame and stuff. And that's what you're, but as diehard fans, that's what we're doing. And you got it. I mean, you got it. If it's like, oh, we got to show the jury walking in, show them walking in at the last tribal council. Like show them walking in where it's just Shaheen walking in. You don't have to show the one of Mitch. It doesn't matter. You don't have to think that that's a better shot. So,
and yeah, I'm not trying to dump on any other random shows, but if it's like House of Villains shows a thing, it's like there's not 19 podcasts dedicated to House of Villains where they're going to depict like, dice apart every single second of things you're giving it. And it's just like, what are we doing?
I agree. And I think that's frustrating. And I think like there were a couple things from that on this season, right? Of Jeff talking about it being the season of duos, and then there's only two duos. That tips us off. I mean, we all should have been much more aware of what the final four was going to be much earlier. You know, Joe,
it was just like, how are they not going to make a move? It's so incredulous, but it's like if four people are working together and they're the duos, then it's kind of like, oh, that's what's going to happen. It is something of Jeff Probst going, this is a crazy finale because somebody's going to explain their game. And you're like, was he talking about Eva in that one? Yeah. Of Eva gets more votes than you think. And I think there was something where you can bet money on Survivor winners where Eva's chances were going up.
Stuff, but yes.
Eva's winning chance were like 43%. I was like, wait, what the hell am I watching?
Yeah.
Okay. I think for maybe the next 5-10, we could be... was this in the 8 seasons of the new era? Where does this rank winner-wise? Where does this rank season-wise?
So
people
I already
asked for that a bit.
So I think that's fair to do. And then I'll probably have a different take tomorrow after I talk to Will on the podcast. And I'm curious how Will's going to react to this. Cause I think Will's going to be like, well, it wasn't super exciting, but I kind of disagree because I do think that in this finale, I think there was drama around that final four between Kyle and Camilla. I think there was definitely drama at the final immunity challenge. And the fact that Camilla was the one who kind of had the panic attack and Eva kept herself under control and was able to get it done. I think that there was a lot of drama at this final tribal council. I think it was too short of a final tribal council, but I do think that there was some serious drama around it where I started saying to myself, oh no, like, is Kyle going to blow this? Like, I know John Millsip had texted me and you were texting me and you're like, I hope Eva wins this. Like, it started to feel that way. And just right on cue, this is actually really funny. I didn't know he was doing this.
What up?
Will, I'm glad you showed up on time.
I'm right on time, right? Are you guys?
We're doing the rankings of the 8 seasons and 8 winners, but I don't know if you watched the episode yet.
I did just finish watching the episode. I actually loved the finale. I thought it was really good.
That's literally what Phil just said.
You can't ruin Digging Deeper for tomorrow, Will. We need to have a full
podcast. I know, but I thought I'd pop in. You guys are an hour in. I thought I'd hang out for a little bit. I just watched it. So, yeah, I really enjoyed the finale. I still think, like, as I said, after whatever those two absolute duds, like, the season is not salvageable. It would take, like, two of the most amazing episodes in Survivor history to recover. And, like, these two after were like very good Survivor episodes, but they weren't like incredible. And I don't think the season is salvaged. Like, I think it was a very mediocre season overall, probably closer to like the bottom 25% of Survivor seasons, but like good episode tonight, good finale, good winner.
Yeah. So this is exactly where we were going. We were going to rank. And I think this is perfect for Will to come in and then he can give his full thoughts tomorrow and be super, super into it. But let's talk very quickly here about where you would rank Kyle as a winner in the new era. And I'm going to ask Will first, because I already gave my take and Blake hasn't given his. Will, where are you ranking Kyle?
Wow. That's all right. So literally watched that he won, like, not even like probably like 60 seconds ago. But let me think on it. He's up there, right? I mean, like, it's so hard to rank winners based on the context, but like, I don't know, probably, I don't know. Second? I'd go second. Second.
That's exactly what I said. Who would you put first?
D.
Yeah, we're the same person. So I actually texted Will before and said, you can come on the podcast for 5 minutes if you say Kyle's number two behind D. Blake, where are you going to put him? Because Blake, you actually haven't said how you feel about Kyle. Now that the sting of Joe losing is gone, where do you think he lands?
D is number one. I think she's iconic at this point. It's a weird thing to say iconic, but like I think D is going to be hard to beat. I'm actually going to go. Mary Ann is such a good winner to me that I think just gets better and better of like playing her perfect win. And then I would go Rachel 3, Kyle 4. And it's just, I think it's been because I wasn't on the Kyle wagon the whole time. Maybe I'm not appreciative enough. And maybe when I do watch it back, I'll go, okay, now that I've taken my Joe rooting hat off, I can be like, this was intricate. But I do think a lot of the heavy lifting of Kyle's game was Camilla. And so that is a thing where one of us is going to win and it's going to be good for both of us. Whenever you pound that into my head, I'm going to give a lot of your flowers to Camilla as well. Here's some of your flowers, Kyle. But I do think those other three people played a little bit better and a little bit more agency for themselves. So I'll put Kyle at 4.
And I think what's fair also about that right there, Blake, is the fact that the jury was agreeing with Star when Star said that Camilla would have beaten everybody. I think that also is a very good point where, like, if Kyle and Camilla sit next to each other, it feels like Camilla would have argued her game better than Kyle did and probably beat him. And if she beats him, now we might be talking about Camilla as the best. But can you say that Kyle is the best one? When I don't think he really realized that Camilla would be. Camilla's the one who says to him, I can't go to final three with you. And he says, I agree with you. He was in the middle of telling her, it's been so fun. This has been great. I'm so happy we did this. And she's like, we can't go together. Like, it was literally the, I can't wait to go on more dates with you. And then the other person says, by the way, we're actually going to break up today. So I like where you're.
I've had that conversation a couple times.
Yeah. Yeah. In terms of season, Will, you just said probably still bottom 25%, but knee jerk reaction. You're a couple minutes off. Just looking at new era, where would you put it?
Last.
Really? Mm-hmm. You'd still put it last?
Yeah. I think the pre-merge was pretty meh. I think the post-merge was like even more meh. And I thought it ended on a very good note. But as a season as a whole, like, I know you hate 41. Give that a rewatch. Far more interesting, far more entertaining. I actually thought this cast was a very, very strong cast. It just like put pen to paper and they didn't deliver an entertaining season for me. I think a lot of people can watch this season and love this season. Jeff loved this season before he had seen the episodes. I mean, there's a lot to like about this season. For me, it never, I don't know. Like, what I like from Survivor is like more, I don't want to be like totally, oh, I want to see idle plays and advantages and like fast-paced gameplay, but like, a little bit of that, yes. And like, we got zero of it. Like, we didn't even get a lick. And like, that kind of, it did not, yeah, the season didn't deliver for me. I actually will probably drop Kyle in my rankings even after like 3 minutes. And maybe Blake made some points here. I think something we might have to take a look at Kyle's game is like, if Joe and Eva don't buy that lie, it's done. So like, I feel like Kyle's game hinged so much on that one move. It's hard to say he like dominated the season or was like playing this undercover secret cutthroat game. And I think that's kind of the narrative that I got from the episode and his jury speech and Camilla. And I get he had this hidden relationship with Camilla, but they only pulled the trigger once. It's not like they were puppet mastering the entire post-merge. And I know they had a great pre-merge episode where Kyle played his idol. That did not get brought up in Final Tribal Council, which I'm sure it did when we were out there, but like it did not make the episode tonight. Mm-hmm. So maybe Kyle goes a little bit.
You never mentioned his best move of Thomas's boot. Maybe where it was because
yeah,
right. Like, and oh, I don't want to bring something up from Final 15 at Final 3.
Right, but I'm sure it's like if you have a successful idol play and you're at Final 3, like he had to have brought it up.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, I think another thing for season rankings, when you're doing 48 versus 41 and actually getting down to like which one is better, when you're watching 41 and you're drop the four, keep the one, and you don't know how everything's going to happen, it's like we're eating dark chocolate for the first time and you're like, I'm not a big dark chocolate guy, but I like chocolate. But 48, when you're doing the same new era shit over and over and over and there's no changes of three tribes, this is how the idols are gonna go, it is kind of like, I need something new, Jeff. I need something to break this up. And if the cast isn't delivering as well, then it does kind of become, I'm excited for a new episode of Survivor because I hope someone topples the apple cart, and there was just no apple cart toppled this time. So it is kind of like, I'm not saying 48 is my favorite of the new era.
Are you saying it's the worst?
I'm going to say, I haven't watched 41 in a while. I'm going to say this merge is more competitive than 44's merge. So maybe I don't want to watch 44 again. I'll say this winner is better than 43's winner, in my opinion. So I would rather watch this over a couple of those seasons. I don't know if it's fifth, sixth, or seventh in my mind. It's not seventh. It's probably fifth or sixth. I would go sixth.
See, for me with this, like you talk about 41, I like chocolate. I think I'm about to eat dark chocolate, and I'm actually eating a pile of poop. And that's what you now I have to, right. But the thing is, like, I'm not allowed
now
to
that we've been eating out. Poop for eight times in a row. You're like,
no,
this eighth version of the poop is actually worse than the first time. Ate.
No, that's not
we're
true.
Really running, and I gotta give Blake credit here. This chocolate and then the dark chocolate metaphor, like that, I don't know where you were. You like that just came top of mind. Like, good,
I'm an metaphor. Analogy guy.
I love that. Like, usually you make some crazy things. That was very, like, that made sense. So. And Phil's adding to it with the poop. So I like where this is going.
Yeah, I think you guys are overhating. I have said, though, the entire season, other than those two episodes of the Mary Boot and the Star Boot, are unbearable.
Awful, yeah.
They're unbearable. They're such bad episodes. They're an hour and a half long. Nothing happens. It's the same plot points, all of that. I have said, though, I said it early on. I felt like everybody was overhating. I felt like they were getting mad about something that wasn't there. Will, I talked about it a lot already on this podcast, but like, I do feel like on a rewatch, the story is there. It makes a lot more sense. And I think knowing the end game makes this better. I truly believe that the way that this finished out, I think Kyle's a very satisfying winner. I honestly think that that final four is one of the most compelling final fours with Camilla, Eva, Joe, and Kyle. I think it's an unbelievably compelling situation. I wish that they would have given us a little bit more with Mitch, that we understood why he was so threatening to everybody at five. But when I'm looking at this, 41 is worse. I think people also sleep on how bad 44 is. 44 is a really, really rough season. Now, you have Carolyn, you have Jam Jam, you have Carson. But after that, like, it's other rough. Than Danny, there is no Danny's opposition good. There. Danny's yeah, there's good. No... Like, Heidi has that moment at the end and nothing comes of it. You get absolutely nothing from Lauren. Jamie is really like a non-factor. Brandon has his moment. Jamie. Exactly. And so,
wait. Kane
was the other person.
Kane is a top 15 Survivor nerd of all time.
So that's my thing. Like, 44 doesn't do it for me either. And Will, you've said this, and I've realized this after watching. Now, again, I think because you guys didn't have to podcast this live, that also helps. But like, 41 was so brutal that then 42 feels like a breath of fresh air because it's like, you know what's coming. But 42 is also not that good.
42 is bad. 41.
Yeah, I would actually say that this could be,
and this 48 could be are like all very bad. Honestly, I think I like 41 the most out of all.
I just love Marianne. I think this is
probably fifth and, of the new era for me.
I love Marianne taking the game from everyone else at six, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm going to go with number five right now, but this is knee jerk. I mean, we've changed our orders a lot as we're going through the seasons on the Patreon. So, I mean, 41, it's out of principle. It will be my last episode. I could sit down and it could be green eggs and ham for me. And I'm still going to say that that's my least favorite season of Survivor. It doesn't matter. Will just got up and left. So I guess that's it. Will just got up and said, screw this. Maybe he's also trying to find Leprechaun 3. Maybe he just got the message that, you know. Also, does anybody else own the whole box set of these? Because I do. I have all five of them. Anyway.
Great rank movie. The five seasons of Leprechaun, quick.
Leprechaun 1's a classic. He rides a skateboard back and forth, and it's Jennifer Aniston's first movie. Great
what about
movie.
Leprechaun 2, Back to the Hood?
Is that, yeah, that one's good. That's Leprechaun 4 is in space, one. I think. Very good.
Leprechaun in space was something that happened to me. Will, at 16 hold on.
Can you drink that again, Blake? You can keep talking, but Will, drink that again.
Here we go. Cheers.
And that's pretty feminine. that was like a 25 degree angle.
What'd you say? Wait, you say milk was feminine? Is that what you said?
Wait, did you not watch the reunion?
No, I just came.
You didn't watch the reunion.
I just saw Kyle win, and I hopped straight on here.
You did. What happened was they gave milk to David, and he said a thought process of, if you drink like this, you're a man. If you drink like this, you're feminine.
The closer you are to your elbow being down is feminine. The further up, the more masculine. You went right in the middle.
You're not feminine.
I'm also like, I'm like trying to frame it too for the video. So like, I don't know if this is my natural milk drinking.
I mean, if you wanted to really frame it, you could have just done it. Like
this is feminine, and then
that's masculine.
That's how David drinks his milk, and then he straight up did this afterwards.
I feel like you want to have it kind of angled. You don't want to do either of those things.
Yeah.
I'm going to be honest, man. David probably drinks a lot more milk than you, and he's a lot more impressive looking, so I agree with him.
I don't think David's arm can go down because of all the muscles either, so that's something I think he just gets by on how much muscles he has.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
That's great. Yeah, now that we're off of that. All right. What else? Anything else you guys want to say? I didn't know Will was going to come in. Anything else you guys want to say, or should we make this a wrap and then
who had Kyle on their fantasy team? Is that you, Phil?
I had Kyle and Joe. You had Eva, Mitch, and Camilla.
I had three of the final five.
Because we gave you Camilla. We had Camilla as the last.
Well, I picked her. I was, you know, strategic.
I probably should watch videos next year because everyone's saying Camilla is super annoying. That she never showed that in her edit at all. And I took that as face value of she would be gone in the first three episodes. And then she's like the David Wright of the season. You're like, gosh, dang it.
What's our digging deeper topic tomorrow? Is it just thoughts?
Yeah, we'll have to do like a...
You need to come with some actual artistic and... Oh, God. Get this...
Panda of Pizza. Hey, Blake, I would like your final thoughts on one last thing since you were 97% sure about Joe's win. Answer me this. What is 100 minus... 97%. That's Leprechaun 3%. Here it is, Blake. Never forget. Will you watch Leprechaun 3? Never. So what is our digging deeper topic? We'll have to figure that out, Will. We'll have to come up with that. We'll have to talk about it. It's kind of gonna be like a retrospective on the season as a whole. If you weren't here, it would have just been like, Will, what are your thoughts? But now you've given your thoughts, but now you've got to sleep on it. Now you can watch three you.
I haven't broken down all my thoughts. I have other thoughts. Can't get all my thoughts out in like 10
minutes. No, and it's supposed to be more academic too. Like
really? Is it a higher brow?
Yes. That's what we like to bring whenever I dig deep.
Yeah.
That's why we get less views. We're like the art house film. Yeah. You know, we get less views because of that, but like, we're not the blockbuster, but the recap is the blockbuster. That's the big one. You should hear how dumb Blake has sounded tonight. Now, if this was digging deeper, he'd be so smart. So, dude. All right. Well, yeah, we're going to do that tomorrow night at 11 PM. Have we talked? Well, I don't know if you looked or not, but the cast now for 50 is dropping officially next Wednesday.
Wait, was there anybody on 49 that you were like, oh, I want to watch that beard guy do stuff?
No. So next Wednesday morning at 7 a.m., they are dropping the cast. I'm going to take a break for my vacation at 10 p.m. Eastern. Are we all going to be there, we think? What are the odds?
I'll be ready at 7 a.m. my time.
We're doing 10 p.m. Eastern time.
Wait.
I can. Eastern. I'm like, there's a chance I could actually do that.
Good. Good. My hope is to have the three of us and Tegwith on that podcast so that we can do like a big four person. We had another comment. I was telling Blake earlier, Apple Podcasts, we have negative ones. Another one from this season was, bring back the women. Oof. Three bros talking about Survivor and it shows. So we need those good comments. But Survivor 50, when it drops next week, obviously it's dropping at 7 a.m. I'm on vacation. I'm not also going to make Will and Blake get up at 4 a.m. to do a podcast, although I should. So we are going to be live at 10 p.m. that night. Or if it has to be a little bit later, we'll see what Will's situation's like. But it can't be too much later because I'm in a hotel. But yeah. That's going to be big news. That's going to be big news. And maybe Will tomorrow when we're talking about 48, we talk a little bit about 52 and maybe talk about anybody from this season who might be interested, if anyone, in being.
I don't need to see anyone from this season on 50.
Really? Really?
Like who would you even throw out?
David, for sure. For sure. And Camilla, I honestly think would be good.
Mitch.
As a female strategist. And I think that Joe is compelling without Eva because we haven't seen that. Those are the three.
I don't know.
Will?
David, maybe. But like we're talking about.
Not for 50 necessarily.
47 other seasons that we're going to. Like 50 is.
Thomas.
Yeah. Will, let me tell you one thing Jeff Probst says during the reunion and get your actual reaction to it so we have it on camera.
Okay.
Well, Mitch, if there's one thing I know about Survivor fans, they're going to love the way you play this game, and they're going to think you should have won.
Yeah, I don't know. That one's tough.
Blake thinks it's
honestly,
like the funny
it's hard,
thing.
It's hard, though, because like Jeff might be right. Like that's the scariest part about it. Because we, like, super fans, online fans, podcast fans make up, like, 5%,
7%, 10%,
3%, maybe, like, Kyle's chances of winning. We make up a very small portion of the fan base. So, like, if he's walking around, like, people come up to him at an airport or on the street or, like, wherever he is, and they go, I love Mitch. Like, he's my favorite. If that's what he's hearing... That's what he's hearing. And like, it's possible.
Matthew C, we just got no edit of Mitch St. Cliffo. Mitch was my dad's favorite. James Barber, poor Mitch.
You guys like, watched Survivor with your dad? That really would have changed my life, man.
Yeah. So, like, I mean, honestly, so Survivor Archivist, I saw someone in the Facebook comment section saying Mitch made them cry watching Survivor for the first time in their lives. Like, I really do think that the edit did Mitch dirty. I really do. Because if they're really that worried about Mitch winning at Final Tribal, we didn't get that as a fan base. And, like, also, you have to remember everybody.
Were we buying that as the reason? I thought it's because they wanted Mitch on the jury. And
that's probably more of what it is. I will ask in my exit interviews tomorrow. But I also want to say this.
You, man.
The faceless 14-year-olds on Twitter who are like, Mitch is the worst thing ever. I hate this guy, blah, blah, blah. There's also like one faceless 35-year-old in there too. His name is Blake.
And I'm putting my face to it right now, bro.
Blake's one of those accounts on there that's leading the charge of like, let's just rip Mitch. Dude, Mitch is, I think everybody in that cast loves Mitch. There's no reason to hate on Mitch. Jeff, keep the editors keeping that in after giving Mitch a terrible edit is crazy.
They must like, hate him crazy. Somehow. Yeah.
It almost feels like they're like how Blake, you're like using this to be like, Will, what would your reaction be? And Will is caught off guard because it's like, why would that even be said? I truly do believe that it's like, it almost felt like they were like mocking how they edited it. Like, it almost felt like they were making fun of themselves of like, we know that we just gave Mitch nothing. And now we're going to be like, everybody's going to love you, Mitch. It's like, well, I don't know.
I think it's tough with that because it's like out there they could have seriously been threatened by him, but then like the producers know that, like, okay, well, he actually probably won't win because he hasn't really done, like, the producers know at the time that Kyle and Camilla have this secret relationship, and they know that, like, wow, they're going to drop that at Final Tribal, and that's probably going to win Kyle the game or Camilla the game if they get there. They know that's not true for Mitch. And so when they go into, you know, produce the season and post, it's like, we don't need to, like, we know what Mitch's game was. Like, he was feckless. Like, he didn't really ever make a move. He didn't do anything. So, like, with the editing and, like, why don't we get more of this person, more of that person? We talked a lot about this in Samoa. It's like, if there was good gameplay and good stuff from Mitch, like, I'm sure it would have made the screen. Like, I'm sure it would have, if it was so good that we had to see it. I mean, that's what you kind of have to think about. Like, anyone going out on one of these reality shows, you have to be so good that they can't leave it on the cutting room floor, that you demand screen time, that you demand confessionals. And, like, he has a very unique story, a very unique Survivor player. So somehow we've never seen someone with a stutter in 47 prior seasons. It's actually insane. And he was great at challenges. Like, he was, like, clearly he made all the way to Final Five. Like, he was doing something right. But, like, at the end of the day, if he's not providing entertainment, and the fact that he does get voted out at five, also, it's like, he's not the focal point of the ending either.
Yeah,
like, this story was really about Kyle and Camilla and Joe and Eva, and, like, the finale showcased that tonight. That was our story. So I'm not gonna rip into that. We don't know what we didn't see. Like, we can't just say, oh, the editors were bad. Like, I can't sit here and say that.
I really hope,
which
that
is Blake crazy because we said that earlier.
I really hope that Blake meets Mitch at, like, a hotel pool one time, and Mitch is like, oh yeah, let me get your phone, let's take a picture together. And then Mitch just turns around and pushes you into the pool. I really do. I really, really do. Look where that elbow is now. I hope Mitch pushes you into the pool, and I hope that the pool is made of, like, quicksand, Blake, because
if Mitch asked me for a photo, you know what I'm going to do?
You're going to take it. Why would he ask you? Blake, Mitch would see you and he'd be like, oh God, there's that little man. No. Happy. No,
I love
here.
Mitch. Can't wait to meet him one day. It'll be great.
Okay. I got an update on the Leprechaun movie. So Leprechaun Back to the Hood is actually Leprechaun 6.
The first five. I don't have
a 2 in the title.
Yeah, I don't have the 6th one. It's Leprechaun, Leprechaun 2, Leprechaun 3, Leprechaun in Space. I forget what the 5th one is. It might just be In the Hood.
No, oh, no, no. It's, oh, you're right. It might be In the Hood, and then Leprechaun 6 is Back to the Hood.
Yeah. Leprechaun one of them 5. Has iced tea.
Yeah, great it's movie. Leprechaun in the Hood. It's
yeah, Leprechaun in the Hood. I own the box set. Happy Lady says, I left a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. Thank you. Thank you. Listening. Appreciate that. Everybody in here is ripping Jayburn Aquatic right now because he was so convinced Joe was going to win.
Jayburn Aquatic is always so convinced that the wrong person's going to win.
He's so convinced, and he's always.
Have you ever seen Jayburn Aquatic and Blake in the same room?
Yeah, that's why Blake's not able to. Jayburn Aquatic's not commenting because he's here.
Well, Survivor 48, we'll remember it forever. Thanks for being with us. It was a great season to be with you guys. Thanks for everything.
That's it. All right, cool. Will and I will be live tomorrow at 11 p.m. So we will see you guys then. I will be live. I won't be live. We'll have the videos out tomorrow with the Final Five. Be doing exit press with them. So that'll be coming out at some point throughout the day tomorrow. Otherwise, thank you all so much for listening. Like this video, subscribe to the channel. We're going to have 50 content starting next Wednesday night. So that's going to be great. And then it's a big off season of a bunch of 50 stuff. So thank you all so much for listening. Hope you enjoyed this, and we'll see you next time.
See ya. Hasta luego.